Chapter 30. Acceptance of the Day of Your Liberation. You cannot be ignorant, Abilinia, that thou art the desire of my heart. Its thoughts are too noble, and too pure, to conceal themselves from you. I shall wait for your answer to this impatiently, expecting that you will set the time to make your departure, and to be in readiness at a moment's warning, to share the joys of a more preferable life. This will be handed to you by Luia, who will take a pleasure in communicating anything to you that may relieve your dejected spirits, and will assure you that I now stand ready, willing, and waiting to make good my vows. I am, dear Abilinia, your, truly, and forever, J1. Alfonso. Luia made it convenient to visit Mr. Valliers, though they did not suspect her in the least the bearer of love epistles. Consequently, she was invited in the room to console Abilinia, where they were left alone. Abilinia was seated by a small table, her head resting on her hand, her brilliant eyes were bathed in tears. Luia handed her the letter of Alfonso, when another spirit animated her features, the spirit of renewed confidence, that never fails to strengthen the female character in an hour of grief and sorrow like this, and as she pronounced the last accent of his name, she exclaimed, "And does he love me yet? I never will forget your generosity, Luia." Oh, unhappy and yet blessed Luia! May you never feel what I have felt, may you never know the pangs of love. Had I never loved, I never would have been unhappy, but I turn to him who can save, and if his wisdom does not will my expected union, I know he will give me strength to bear my lot. Amuse yourself with this little book, and take it as an apology for my silence, said Abilinia, while I attempt to answer this volume of consolation. Thank you, said Luia, you are excusable upon this occasion, but I pray you, Abilinia, to be expert upon this momentous subject, that there may be nothing mistrustful upon my part. Will, said Abilinia, and immediately resumed her seat, and addressed the following to Alfonso. Cumming, Georgia, January 28, 1844. Devoted Alfonso, I hail your letter as a welcome messenger of faith, and can now say truly and firmly that my feelings correspond with yours. Nothing shall be wanting on my part to make my obedience your fidelity. Courage and perseverance will accomplish success. Receive this as my oath, that while I grasp your hand in my own imagination, we stand united before a higher tribunal than any on earth. All the powers of my life, soul, and body, I devote to thee. Whatever dangers may threaten me, I fear not to encounter them. Perhaps I have determined upon my own destruction, by leaving the house of the best of parents. Be it so, I flee to you, I share your destiny, faithful to the end. The day that I have concluded upon for this task is Sabbath next, when the family with the citizens are generally at church. For heaven's sake let not that day pass unimproved. Trust not till tomorrow, it is the cheat of life, the future, that never comes, the grave of many noble births, the cavern of ruined enterprise, which like the lightning's flash is born, and dies, and perishes, ere the voice of him who sees can cry, "Behold!" Behold, you may trust to what I say, no power shall tempt me to betray confidence. Suffer me to add one word more. I will soothe thee, in all thy grief, beside the gloomy river, and though thy love may yet be brief, mine is fixed forever. Receive the deepest emotions of my heart for thy constant love, and may the power of inspiration be thy guide, thy portion, and thy all. In great haste, yours faithfully, Abilinia. I now take my leave of you, sweet girl, said Luia, sincerely wishing you success on Sabbath next. When Abilinia's letter was handed to Alfonso, he perused it without doubting its contents. Luia charged him to make but few confidants, but like most young men who happen to win the heart of a beautiful girl, he was so elated with the idea that he felt as a commanding general on parade, who had confidence in all, consequently gave orders to all. The appointed Sabbath, with a delicious breeze and cloudless sky, made its appearance. The people gathered in crowds to the church. The streets were filled with neighboring citizens, all marching to the house of worship. It is entirely useless for me to attempt to describe the feelings of Alfonso and Ambulinia, who were silently watching the movements of the multitude, apparently counting them as then entered the house of God, looking for the last one to darken the door. The impatience and anxiety with which they waited, and the bliss they anticipated on the eventful day, is altogether indescribable. Those that have been so fortunate as to embark in such a noble enterprise know all its realities, and those who have not had this inestimable privilege will have to taste its sweets before they can tell to others its joys, its comforts, and its heaven-born worth. Immediately after Ambulinia had assisted the family off to church, she took advantage of that opportunity to make good her promises. She left a home of enjoyment to be wedded to one whose love had been justifiable. A few short steps brought her to the presence of Luia, who urged her to make good use of her time, and not to delay a moment, but to go with her to her brother's house, where Alfonso would forever make her happy. With lively speed, and yet a graceful air, she entered the door, and found herself protected by the champion of her confidence. The necessary arrangements were fast making. To have the two lovers united, everything was in readiness except the parson, and as they are generally very sanctimonious on such occasions, the news got to the parents of Ambulinia before the everlasting knot was tied, and they both came running, with uplifted hands and injured feelings, to arrest their daughter from an unguarded and hasty resolution. Alfonso desired to maintain his ground, but Ambulinia thought it best for him to leave, to prepare for a greater contest. He accordingly obeyed, as it would have been a vain endeavor for him to have battled against a man who was armed with deadly weapons, and besides, he could not resist the request of such a pure heart. Ambulinia concealed herself in the upper story of the house, fearing the rebuke of her father. The door was locked, and no chastisement was now expected. Esquire Valier, whose pride was already touched, resolved to preserve the dignity of his family. He entered the house almost exhausted, looking wildly for Ambulinia. "Mazed and astonished indeed I am," said he, "at a people who call themselves civilized, to allow such behavior as this. Ambulinia, Ambulinia," he cried, "come to the calls of your first, your best, and your only friend. I appeal to you, sir," turning to the gentleman of the house, "to know where Ambulinia has gone, or where is she?" "Oh, you mean to insult me, sir, in my own house?" inquired the gentleman. "I will burst," said Mr. V, "asunder every door in your dwelling, in search of my daughter, if you do not speak quickly, and tell me where she is. I care nothing about that outcast rubbish of creation, that mean, low-lived Alfonso, if I can but obtain Ambulinia." "Are you not going to open this door?" said he. "Why, the Eternal, that made heaven and earth. I will go about the work instantly, if this is not done." The confused citizens gathered from all parts of the village, to know the cause of this commotion. Some rushed into the house. The door that was locked flew open, and there stood Ambulinia, weeping. "Aether, be still," said she, "and I will follow thee home." But the agitated man seized her, and bore her off through the gazing multitude. "Aether," she exclaimed, "I humbly beg your pardon, I will be dutiful, I will obey thy commands. Let the 16 years I have lived in obedience to thee buy my future security. Don't like to be always given credit when the old score is not paid up, madam," said the father. The mother followed almost in a state of derangement, crying and imploring her to think beforehand and ask advice from experienced persons, and they would tell her it was a rash undertaking. "H," said she, "Ambulinia, my daughter, did you know what I have suffered? Did you know how many nights I have whiled away in agony, in pain, and in fear? You would pity the sorrows of a heartbroken mother." "Well, mother," replied Ambulinia, "I know I have been disobedient. I am aware that what I have done might have been done much better, but oh, What shall I do with my honor? It is so dear to me. I am pledged to Alfonso. His high moral worth is certainly worth some attention. Moreover, my vows, I have no doubt, are recorded in the Book of Life, and must I give these all up? Must my fair hopes be forever blasted? Forbid it, Father, oh! Forbid it, Mother, forbid it, Heaven! Have seen so many beautiful skies overclouded, replied the mother, so many blossoms nipped by the frost, that I am afraid to trust you to the care of those fair days, which may be interrupted by thundering and tempestuous nights. You no doubt think as I did, life's devious ways were strewn with sweet-scented flowers, but ah! How long they have lingered around me, and took their flight in the vivid hope that laughs at the drooping victims it has murdered. Alfonso was moved at this sight. The people followed on to see what was going to become of Ambulinia, while he, with downcast looks, kept at a distance, until he saw them enter the abode of the father, thrusting her, that was the sigh of his soul, out of his presence into a solitary apartment, when she exclaimed, Alfonso! Alfonso! Oh, Alfonso! Where art thou, with all thy heroes? Haste, oh! Haste, come thou to my relief. Ride on the wings of the wind. Turn thy force loose like a tempest, and roll on thy army like a whirlwind, over this mountain of trouble and confusion. Oh, friends! If any pity me, let your last efforts throng upon the green hills, and come to the relief of Ambulinia, who is guilty of nothing but innocent love. Alfonso called out with a loud voice, My God, can I stand this? Arise up, I beseech you, and put an end to this tyranny. Come, my brave boys, said he, are you ready to go forth to your duty? They stood around him. Who, said he, will call us to arms? Where are my thunderbolts of war? Speak ye, the first who will meet the foe. Who will go forward with me in this ocean of grievous temptation? If there is one who desires to go, let him come, and shake hands upon the altar of devotion, and swear that he will be a hero, yes, a Hector in a cause like this, which calls aloud for a speedy remedy. I'd be the deed, said a young lawyer, and mine alone, Venus alone shall quit her station, before I will forsake one jot or tittle of my promise to you. What is death to me? What is all this warlike army, if it is not to win a victory? I love the sleep of the lover and the mighty, nor would I give it over till the blood of my enemies should wreak with that of my own. But God forbid that our fame should soar on the blood of the slumberer. Mr. Valier stands at his door with the frown of a demon upon his brow, with his dangerous weapon ready to strike the first man who should enter his door. Who will arise and go forward through blood and carnage to the rescue of my Ambulinia? Said Alfonso. LL, exclaimed the multitude. And onward they went, with their implements of battle. Others, of a more timid nature, stood among the distant hills, to see the result of the contest. Alfonso took the lead of his band. Night arose in clouds, darkness concealed the heavens, but the blazing hopes that stimulated them gleamed in every bosom. All approached the anxious spot. They rushed to the front of the house, and, with one exclamation, demanded Ambulinia. Way, beckon, and disturb my peace no more, said Mr. Valier. Who are a set of base, insolent, and infernal rascals? Go, the northern star points your path through the dim twilight of the night. Go, and vent your spite upon the lonely hills. Pour forth your love, you poor, weak-minded wretch, upon your idleness, and upon your guitar, and your fiddle. They are fit subjects for your admiration. For let me assure you, though this sword and iron lever are cankered, yet they frown in sleep, and let one of you dare to enter my house this night and you shall have the contents, and the weight of these instruments. Ever yet did base dishonor blur my name, said Alfonso. Mine is a cause of renown. Here are my warriors. Fear and tremble, for this night, though hell itself should oppose, I will endeavor to avenge her whom thou hast banished in solitude. The voice of Ambulinia shall be heard from that dark dungeon. At that moment Ambulinia appeared at the window above, and with a tremulous voice said, Live, Alfonso, oh! live to raise my stone of moss. Why should such language enter your heart? Why should thy voice rend the air with such agitation? I bid thee live, once more remembering these tears of mine are shed alone for thee, in this dark and gloomy vault, and should I perish under this load of trouble, join the song of thrilling accents with the raven above my grave, and lay this tattered frame beside the banks of the Chattahoochee, or the stream of Saunay's brook, sweet will be the song of death to your Ambulinia. My ghost shall visit you in the smiles of paradise, and tell your high fame to the minds of that region, which is far more preferable than this lonely cell. My heart shall speak for thee till the latest hour. I know faint and broken are the sounds of sorrow, yet our souls, Alfonso, shall hear the peaceful songs together. One bright name shall be ours on high, if we are not permitted to be united here. Bear in mind, that I still cherish my old sentiments, and the poet will mingle the names of Alfonso and Ambulinia in the tide of other days. Lie, Alfonso, set the voices of his united band, to the wounded heart of your beloved. All enemies shall fall beneath thy sword. Fly through the clefts, and the dim spark shall sleep in death. Alfonso rushes forward, and strikes his shield against the door, which was barricaded, to prevent any intercourse. His brave sons throng around him. The people pour along the streets, both male and female, to prevent or witness the melancholy scene. To arms, to arms! Cried Alfonso. Here is a victory to be won, a prize to be gained, that is more to me, than the whole world beside. It cannot be done tonight, said Mr. Valier. Bear the clang of death. My strength and armor shall prevail. My Ambulinia shall rest in this hall until the break of another day, and if we fall together. If we die clinging to our tattered rights, and our blood alone shall tell the mournful tale of a murdered daughter and a ruined father. Sure enough, he kept watch all night, and was successful in defending his house and family. The bright morning gleamed upon the hills, night vanished away, the major and his associates felt somewhat ashamed, that they had not been as fortunate as they expected to have been. However, they still leaned upon their arms in dispersed groups. Some were walking the streets, others were talking in the major's behalf. Many of the citizens suspended business, as the town presented nothing but consternation. A novelty that might end in the destruction of some worthy and respectable citizens. Mr. Valier ventured in the streets, though not without being well armed. Some of his friends congratulated him on the decided stand he had taken, and hoped he would settle the matter amicably with Alfonso, without any serious injury. Me, he replied, what, me, condescend to fellowship with a coward, and a low-lived, lazy, undermining villain? No, gentlemen, this cannot be. I had rather be borne off, like the bubble upon the dark blue ocean, with Ambulinia by my side, than to have him in the ascending or descending line of relationship. Gentlemen, continued he, if Alfonso is so much of a distinguished character, and is so learned in the fine arts, why do you not patronize such men? Why not introduce him into your families, as a gentleman of taste, and of unequaled magnanimity? Why are you so very anxious, that he should become a relative of mine? Oh, gentlemen, I fear you yet are tainted with the curiosity of our first parents, who were beguiled by the poisonous kiss of an old ugly serpent, and who, for one apple, damned all mankind. I wish to divest myself, as far as possible, of that untutored custom. I have long since learned that the perfection of wisdom, and the end of true philosophy, is to proportion our wants to our possessions, our ambition to our capacities. We will then be a happy, and a virtuous people. Ambulinia was sent off to prepare for a long and tedious journey. Her new acquaintances had been instructed by her father how to treat her, and in what manner, and to keep the anticipated visit entirely secret. Alfonso was watching the movements of everybody. Some friends had told him of the plot that was laid to carry off Ambulinia. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.